Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Robinhood, giving you guys a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at realghost.robinhood.com. That's realghost.robinhood.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. A flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a Spirit Flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show, weeks before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your Spirit Flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, time and space make a dramatic change for one man as he simply headed home from work. An unexplained truck seems to follow a person everywhere they go, but why? And a set of dolls comes to life with the intent on delivering a dark message. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Please press subscribe whatever platform it is you may be listening to us on. You will then get every episode of our program sent directly to you. Helps us grow those rankings as well. So thank you in advance for doing just that. New opportunity for yearly EPP members. If you're signing up for a new yearly EPP membership, renewing a membership on your membership renewal date, or upgrading from a monthly, you can now get a Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new extra for yearly EPP members. Yes, all you have to do is sign up for that yearly membership over at ghostpodcast.com. You can check out pictures of it on our Facebook page. Pretty neat stuff, and autographed, and with our logo on there and everything. Embroidered is like fabric, but what's the word I'm looking for here? Where it's engraved. Engraved is what I'm looking for on the on the flasks, just in time for the holidays. So, Clark, you can sit there and load it up with eggnog or whatever spirit gets you through the holidays.
That there's an RV.
It's an RV there, Clark. What do you think of that? Go to Walmart.
Well, I gave him the house. He gave me that. Now, don't you go falling in love with it there, Tony. We're taking it with us when we leave here next month.
Okay, Eddie. And go to Walmart, go get some of that Old Roy, giant bags of it, and there you go. Happy holidays, everybody. Go down a saucer on... Have you ever sled on a saucer? I mean, you're obviously... We're from Wisconsin, so we have much experience sledding. We always had, like, the plastic sleds, but we did have a saucer, very similar to the one Clark Griswold used. Did you ever use one of those?
I did not. I wouldn't say it was titanium and or metal. No, I didn't use Crisco or cooking spray on it. Non something something lubricant.
Yeah.
Anywho, more of a plastic circle.
Okay.
Saucer, if you will.
Yeah. We actually had a metal one, and I think it was my mom's or something. I think it was really old, and it had a lot of use out of it because you could tell, like, it was red, and then you could tell where it was had been sled on because it was then just metal. So had we done the Crisco or the non-government approved lubricant or whatever it was, I think we probably could have done the same thing. Although, you know what? I really never felt like I got very far in the saucers. So I always just, I liked the sleds. I felt like I could go a lot further in those than the round disc.
You didn't end up in the Walmart parking lot going over the ramp and down the street with the sparks in front of the school bus, and then your uncle said, bingo.
Unfortunately, no, I did not do that. But there's always next winter. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Step over to our first story of the day, and I'll try and choke myself through it. I have bronchitis right now, so I have my inhaler. I took my Teflon Pearl. I have my tea and LaCroix over here just for good measure. And it'd be nice. I should have like a thing of whiskey or something, because that might
I was going to ask that, Tony. Ghost got your voice?
Yeah, it's allergies are sucking here right now. So it's been one person in our house at a time dealing with this. But yeah, so I won't be speaking the rest of the day. I've been saving all my love for this show, just as Whitney would say. But for you. There you go. 855-853-4802. Our first story says, hello, this is Sal writing to you from Delano, California. I found your podcast about a month ago, and I have been hooked ever since. I listen to about 9 podcasts a day, get me through my 8-hour days and shifts. Anyway, here's my story. I don't know if it's paranormal or not. I was dating my now ex-girlfriend. She lives about 45 to 50 minutes away from where I live. I went over just like a typical Saturday. I'd go and spend the afternoon with her. It's about 11 p.m. when I decided to head home. Stopped to get some coffee, as I didn't want to be falling asleep. It was Saturday. People drive crazy over here, and it was late. I had heavy work day as I was heading home. I noticed something strange. No cars had passed me the whole time I was on the freeway, and I hadn't passed any either. There were cars ahead of me, but a mile ahead, and behind me, also, but a mile back. But before getting to Delano, where I live, there's a dairy I have to drive by while heading home. When I pass it, I know I'm about 5 minutes away from the city as I pass it. I don't see the city getting any closer. I keep driving and I notice the same dairy up ahead. I start to get this weird chilling feeling, seeing as I already passed the same dairy twice, but brush it off thinking it's my imagination. When I get home, I pull up to my driveway, pull up my phone to text my girlfriend to tell her I'm home. When I look at my phone, I get a chill down my spine, my hairs on my body stand as I look and it's 11:30. Usually takes me about 45 to 50 minutes to get home. Would have been home around 11:50. Told my parents and my girlfriend the next day, and they just thought it was just because I was tired. I went to the same dairy the next day to see if there was another dairy there that I might have missed, but there was only one. I don't know what happened that day, or why I got home in 30 minutes, or why I passed the same dairy twice. Make me some insider thought on what might have happened. Thank you for your excellent show. Keep up the good work. I'll soon sign up for the EPP membership. Love you guys. Keep up the funny humor. Much love from your loyal listener, Sal. That is bizarre. It's kind of one of those time and space shifting things that you don't know what the hell is going on, but does happen to many people. There's a new television series out, and it eludes me what it's called. It's on NBC. It's about the airplane that goes up and then it lands, and it's like 5 years later. And they just thought they were on a normal flight. It felt like that. And then they get off and suddenly the families, you know, they've moved on. They thought they were dead. Siblings have grown older, and everybody on the flight's the same age as they were when they got on the plane in 2013. But now it's 2018. So not quite that extreme, but kind of along those lines.
Manifest.
Yes, Manifest.
Basically take inventory of everybody on the plane, and it, you know, you think it's just, oh, we just want to make sure that we didn't leave you. No, it's 100% legality. If you know, everyone dies, well, there's the manifest.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one. I saw the first episode the other night, and I enjoyed it. Have you ever had anything like that where you feel like you've passed something, or time has changed, or which is just a weird occurrence of that nature?
Yeah, I think on road trips, when you are obviously doing other things in addition to driving, whether you're on the phone or your brain is somewhere else, and if you take a road trip long enough, you can just kind of gauge where you're at, and then all of a sudden you see maybe a gas station or a truck stop, and you think you're 3 or 4 hours more so down the road, and you're just seeing that, and you're thinking, my gosh, have I been going 30 miles an hour? I swear I would have passed that long ago. Mm-hmm. So your brain, you know, plays tricks on you. But am I understanding correctly that this person thought that there was multiple dairies when there's only just one on the ride home?
He passed it twice, and he was going down a straight road, and that's what makes it very bizarre. It wasn't like, oh, I turned around or got turned around or anything like that. He saw it twice, and then he was suddenly 10 minutes ahead of himself when he got home. So some things shifted there.
I was going to say that is one hell of a mirage. Usually happens on a bright sunny day in the desert, but at night to have a random dairy appear. But that, I don't know what to daylight savings time, or somebody forgot to put batteries in the watch, or I'm at somewhat of a quandary to figure that one out logistically.
Well, the thing is, I know in the state of Wisconsin, you know, when you have mirages in other states, it just kind of looks like water. But in Wisconsin, when you do have a mirage, it does appear to look like a dairy, which is a unique thing to the state of Wisconsin.
Triangular block of prosciutto is the customizable mirages here in Wisconsin. And it's funny, I look out in the distance right here as I'm this week when we're recording, I am in America's Dairyland. Mm-hmm. And look at that big block of cheddar out there. Nope, actually it's nothing. It's just a mirage.
It's amazing. Sometimes you're like, oh my God, there's a big thing of Parmesan coming up. Nope, it's
you
not.
You run and hug a cream puff, and then you just hug air.
That's all it is. That's all it is. I did have something strange like that happen to me when I was a kid, and I almost like enjoyed screwing around with this. And this is going to sound bizarre, but there's the highway from my hometown that goes towards Sheboygan, Wisconsin, is called Highway 23. And if you go, I knew the, if you're looking at it and go north, I knew that area pretty well. But the southern, if you go on the other side of the highway, I knew it somewhat, but I like to just drive out there when I first got my license when I was 16. And just a lot of hilly roads, it's kind of pretty countryside. Even more fun when it's fall and it's creepy and it's dark and there's hills. Not the smartest thing when you're 16 and learning how to drive, because there's also a lot of deer and everything. But I would just go out there at night, and this is pre-GPS. This is pre, maybe your Rand McNally, road almanac or something, but that was about it. And I would just go and drive out that way. And there were so many nights, I swear to God, what happened to the guy in this letter happened to me, where I'd be going, and I'm sure, quite honestly, it was me getting turned around, because I would just turn random ways and I would lose my direction of where I was going and then try and figure my way back home. And I found this to be a great adventure at night. By myself. This is what I did as a teenager.
I love to terrify myself every Friday night.
Just wander around. I mean, I guess, there's many other things I could be doing, but that's what I did. And I remember there's sometimes, there was some areas over there that were just strange. And I would find, so there were some towns that really didn't exist much anymore. They were kind of decrepit and falling apart. And they were just, there was like one street light and it just looked creepy. And I loved doing that. And I did have a couple of times where I'm like, damn it, I've already been through this town like once tonight. I thought I had been going fairly straight and somehow I ended up back where I was. But the roads can be confusing when you have the hills and the trees and the night. That was kind of my pastime. So I kind of relate to the story in some way, but I think he actually had something happen where I just was bad at directions. Let's do a little business here. Talk about our supporter today, Robinhood. You can check them out at realghost.robinhood.com and get a free stock. They're giving out free stocks. This is really kind of cool. Robinhood, it's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. And I'll be completely honest, I'm not super well-versed in this arena, but I went on there and checked it out for myself, and they really make it easy to understand. At least it really felt that way for me. It took a lot of the intimidation out of this topic away when I checked out Robinhood. In fact, that's what they pride themselves on, being a very non-intimidating way for you to navigate the stock market. Newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Simple, intuitive, clear design, data presented in an easy-to-digest way. Okay? You really got to check this out for yourself, because they're going to even give you a free stock to start trying this out with. The cost, no commissions, no fees. Okay, so you don't have to worry about that stuff. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every single trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees to trade stocks and keep all the profits for you. It's very easy to use. Check it out for yourself. You learn by doing. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies with personalized news feeds, custom notifications for price movements, so you can never miss the right moment to invest. They're giving you a chance to do this for free. Okay, we're giving you a chance to get a free stock and get a good idea on how this works. You got nothing to lose here.
Stocks like Apple, Ford, Sprint, to help you build that portfolio. So you got nothing to lose. It's almost like getting free money. I mean, it really literally is like getting free money. They're so convinced that you're going to find some value in this and find it to be such an interesting and neat system. Check it out for yourself. RealGhost.Robinhood.com to get that free stock. RealGhost.Robinhood.com. Robin Hood. Yeah, like the character. RealGhost.Robinhood.com. Check it out for yourself. I really enjoy it. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's go to another story. It says, hi, guys. Love your show. I've been listening since episode 3. This is a quick story. I was driving across town to pick my sister up from work when I felt like somebody was behind me in the back seat pushing their feet against my chair. The pressure would start and stop. I was alone in my car. It was around 10 at night, so I tested my brakes to see if maybe something in my back seat was sliding back and forth. Nope, nothing. So I pulled into a church parking lot to get out and check things out. I noticed that when I did this, an old pickup truck that had been behind me for about 10 or 15 minutes did the same. That's when my alarm bells went off in my head. I forgot all about my seats and hauled ass out of the parking lot. The truck followed me but did not match my speed, so I took the long way to my sister's work and took off routes and did wrong turns and all on purpose, hoping the truck, wavering to follow, would lose me before I had to sit in the parking lot alone waiting for it to call. She's 16, working as a CNA, and can't leave the building at night until she gets confirmation that her ride is outside. After I received her call, I was there in less than a minute. Picked her up, sat in the front seat. It was about a half block away when the seat started behind me. I felt a kicking on it. Immediately, I looked in my rearview mirror and saw the same headlights from that truck that was following me. I could not believe it. The guy, I'm assuming it was a man, had known where my sister worked. I freaked out and broke every traffic law getting my sister back to my parents' house. I told my parents what happened, and my dad drove my car to my house and picked me up some clothes. I stayed with them that night. I never saw the truck again, and the kicking of my seat only happens when my daughter is sitting behind me. I don't know if the two things were related, but I shudder to think what might have happened had I not pulled into that church. Almost kind of like Duel-ish there. You ever see that movie?
Duel-ish? Duel. Who stars in that one?
Duel is it's a truck movie where the semi follows you. It's like out of the late 70s. It's one of those that our parents would have said, you have to see this.
Where just the creepy semi is following.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Very much in that nature. I would say, you know, the fact that she felt kicking on her seat and then looked up and boom, there's the truck. Yeah, the two I think are related. As to why it was following, I have no idea. It could be good. It could be bad. You know, there may have been some reason that, you know, sometimes, you know, it was a scary experience, but I think sometimes there's this thing on the other side that almost needs to scare you to go in a different route or change your direction of whatever you're doing in order to avoid some sort of other mishap. So you know, fear sometimes may work for the better. I don't know. It's hard to know in this situation.
I think that right there is a whole different scare than when you look in the rearview mirror when you're going maybe 5-6 miles an hour over the speed limit and you see a police officer in the pit of your stomach. You see when they're following you. That is terrifying. What I would ask or wonder is if she said the kicking in the back seat is if that was a vehicle that she bought where there was a prior owner, or if she bought the vehicle new, that possibly somebody that owned the vehicle in the past wanted to come back and play some type of not nice prank.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I would be interested in getting the Carfax history report on that vehicle and see if it had been
a couple accidents, no reported, one death.
Yeah. See if there's a anything behind it, you know, maybe some sort of accident of some sort that it was rear-ended maybe by a semi. I don't know. It'd be interesting to know. You know, the thing is with the those reports on the vehicles, and there's a gazillion of them these days. Have you ever gone to a car lot and gotten the car report and it had a ton of shit on it? I mean, they're kind of all guaranteed to be like, and the report's perfect and spotless.
Yeah, I think there's varying levels of shit on them, and I think it really falls on this is now turned into car talk, consumer to read it correctly, because if you don't really pay attention to it, mm-hmm. I mean, they can sell you a piece of crap. 1971 Duel, directed by Steven Spielberg.
Really? I didn't know it was a Steven Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
Must have been one of his firsts. That was a good movie. It's
a thriller.
You look back on it now and compare it to kind of what's out there now, because I think what's out there today, for the most part, really kind of sucks. But what has come between the two, I guess I'll say, in 80s, 90s, maybe some early 2000s. It's nowhere near the level of scare and shock that I think some of us, have now and where our bar is at. But I think for the time, it was a pretty damn scary movie.
David Mann is a middle-aged salesman driving on a business trip. He encounters a tanker truck in the Mojave Desert. Mann passes the truck, but the truck speeds up and roars past him. When Mann overtakes and passes it again, the truck blasts its horn. Mann leaves it in the distance.
Is this the Wikipedia entry or the description of the movie?
Oh, this is actually the copy that aired as it was the ABC movie of the week.
Oh, God.
Mann phones his wife. Mann. Upset with him for not putting the laundry in the dryer after an argument the previous night. The calamity ensues Thursday on ABC 17. The station attendant tells Mann he needs a new radiator hose, but Mann declines the repair.
Anytime you have the word, they're describing things as the man. Yeah. Sorry. All right. I think we've had enough of the 1970s. This Thursday on ABC. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, I've had several things happen to me throughout my life. I'm not sure if I'm sensitive to these things or not, but I've had things happen to me for as long as I can remember. When I was a young child, under 5, I lived with my grandparents. But even though I had my own room, I would never sleep in it. I recall sleeping in that room alone once in my life and having nightmares so terrifying that I still recall parts of it at the age of 36. I was being attacked by glowing green wisps. I could feel them trying to take me. I woke up screaming. After that, I slept in the same room as my mother, who also lived in the home, and that room remained unoccupied. As a side note, that room was next to the bathroom, which I am where I later learned the previous owner had died. The most prominent experience, however, had to do with a set of dolls my father had sent me from Spain. There were 3 of them, a single female doll, a male and a female, that were attached on the base. They were all Spanish dancers. These dolls would talk to me. I remember one time when I asked my grandfather, who was in the next room, if I could use scissors, I heard someone tell me I could. When he came into the room, I got in trouble for using scissors without permission. I cried and explained that someone had told me, in fact, that I could use the scissors. I thought it was him. I did not get in trouble, so I think I heard them, too. I would press myself against the wall when walking past them. I was convinced I could see them move. They called my name and tried to get me to play with them, but I don't think I ever actually touched them. I've been terrified of them from the start. My grandparents and mother insisted on displaying them in our sitting room. Eventually, we moved out and my grandparents moved. My grandparents kept the dolls in their basement. When I was in my early teens, I was in the basement with my grandfather helping him with laundry. He went upstairs and I heard someone yelling my name. A box fell over. Those damn dolls were inside that box. I've never run up a set of stairs so fast in my life. I have no idea where those dolls are now. My grandmother passed away in 2003 and my grandfather passed away in 2010 after a lengthy stay in a nursing home. I hope they've rotted away in a landfill. I think we all have that same feeling of dolls. We hope they all rot away in landfills.
And they just will not biodegrade. They're just there. You have to bury them and bury them and bury them and bury them, and they still have that awkward, creepy smile on their face.
They're still there, no matter what you do. I think there's nothing creepier when you're walking through an antique store than, like, a booth with a bunch of dolls in it. To me, that's just one of the, like, oh, okay, let's keep moving.
Not sure if I'm the only one. I would imagine somebody else. I really have zero creepy awkwardness over any type of doll.
You're really
porcelain,
cool with them.
Porcelain, Barbie, clowns. Like, I don't much care.
You had, like, a My Buddy, zero. Didn't you? You had a My Buddy, didn't you?
No.
My Buddy.
I did have a Teddy Ruxpin.
Yeah.
Oh, I know the My Buddy, yeah. My Buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can remember the commercial, but, and everybody has a teddy bear or their one specific friend, whether it was imaginary or a blankie or what have you. Either I just had an extremely loser-like childhood or I look at dolls the same way I look at a spatula. There is zero emotions, good, bad, creepy, indifferent about them.
I don't know why I have a fear of them. I just have always thought porcelain dolls were creepy. And I like I said, I can't put my finger on it. I can't. My mother didn't collect them. I don't remember any aunts or uncles, you know, that had them, except for Uncle Bill, who had a big doll. I'm kidding. It was kind of odd. It was in this basement.
And we didn't a lot of whips. Talk about that only on Fridays during the day between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m.
It was just, don't go down there at Christmas. Don't go to Uncle Bill's room of leather and dolls. It was
no eye contact.
Yeah. And you couldn't. Yeah, it was. I actually have no Uncle Bill. But I remember like staying at a friend's house as an adult. It was someone that we had worked with, and I was going to visit them. And his wife collected the dolls in the guest room. We had like a whole like ceiling ledge of them. And I tell you, that was a creepy night sleeping in that bedroom, because it was like 40 porcelain dolls all staring at me. And I was like, OK, this is just unnerving. And
you can't double up, have the guest room as the doll room. You need to switch that up. If you're going to have a guest room and take the time to have a bed, you go get some nice new sheets at the Linen and Things going out of business sale. You put the nice flat screen in there that you got on 75% open box discount. You then can't put a shelf of dolls that all look as though they're staring at the nice printed comforter that you got at Linens and Things.
Yeah.
You put them in the attic. You put them in the garage. You put them in
fireplace.
A landfill.
Yeah,
fire.
Yeah, exactly. Never. I can't do dolls. I'm glad my girls are not super about dolls. They have these the American Girl dolls now, but they're not creepy. There's something about those that actually, like, they look friendly and inviting. Somebody along the way said, hey, maybe we should stop making all dolls have blank stares like they're being hypnotized by Satan. And we should make them happy and fun and approachable. And so I'm not freaked out by the American Girl dolls that they
make little bios and paragraphs and accessories. I think, and I don't know this because I wasn't much of a doll purchaser ever or as a child specifically. But I would like to think those, what are they, American Girl?
American Girl dolls.
Yeah, aren't they crazy expensive?
Yeah, they found a great way to make a shitload of money by making non-creepy dolls. I think that was part
of
the...
So I think back in the day, you get the 7 for $6 in the grab bag bin made in some Korean factory.
Yeah.
Opposed to now, you're a little higher on the price tag, and they take some time to make them a little bit more friendly.
Let's put a smile on their face and charge 10 times more. And that's, I think, how it works.
Oh, America.
You want an outfit for that doll? Well, that'll cost more than the clothing you're buying for your own children.
Oh, you don't want a new doll. Okay.
Why don't you get her latest fashion line? Yeah. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your story.
Tony and Johnny, I love your show. My name's Irving Wallace. I live in Maryland, the Eastern Shore. And my family settled in Maryland in the 1680s. And we have several very old homes. But one of them was right down. I'm telling you, you expect an old home to have squeaks and shit like that in it. This home was actually dead silent. It was, you walk up to that house and you get bad vibes. And one of the people that had lived in there had died one of the strangest deaths. He worked on a barge on Chesapeake Bay, and this barge blew up. It was full of gasoline. They never found his body. And that's who we always said haunted this house. My dad bought it when he retired from the Marine Corps, and we moved back up to Eastern Shore, Maryland. I guess the scariest moment of my life was I was sleeping in this small bedroom. It was like the attic bedroom. That's where the attic door was. And I would not put my head down by that attic door. I had my head down the other way. And I was laying in the bed one morning about, I guess it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And some woke me up. And I took and touched my chest. And I was sweating unbelievably. It was like I'd been in a football game. And then the next thing I realized was that my arm was being tugged right out of the bed down the hall. I snatched my arm out. I was afraid to even look down that hall on that second floor. There was no way I could do it. I took and laid there that night until the sun came up. And the really strange part about it is that 6 months later, the little country store down there that was right beside her house, I'm in there one morning, and the old man that was raised in that house, he was talking to a bunch of the other old men one morning, and I just happened to walk in there and overhear the conversation. He said, you know what I used to hate? He said, my older brother Earl would come in, and he'd have a few drinks under his belt. And I slept in that little bit room by the attic, and he'd snatch my arm and rip me out of bed. I could have died. I could have died when I heard that, because that's just the exact thing that happened to me. But that house, me, my brothers, have actually witnessed sitting in the living room downstairs and hearing somebody walk up and down the stairs upstairs. We actually called the police. And there was no one to be found up there. But we always blamed it on the guy that, I'm not going to mention his name because people from down there would know it. But I'm telling you, Tony, that house was, it was strange. You know, my brothers and sisters, I would stay in there by myself. But my younger brothers and sisters, I'm the oldest. Unless I was there, or my mom and dad were there, they were going to stay in that house. That's how strange that house was. It was so silent. It was eerie. But yet, all this paranormal activity happened in that house.
So there you go. That sounds like, you know, the type of place you grow up and you never forget. You have warm, fuzzy memories for the rest of your life.
And every time you think of it, you have to use the restroom because it scares the crap out of you. That is something when that happened. And then is his friend, his neighbor talking about uncle who ripped him out of bed, or his brother?
Brother, I believe.
Man, that shoots chills right down your spine, because had he told the story about that happening to the guy who said that?
I believe so. The thing is, something like that, another assumption was it was maybe the guy who died in the tragic barge explosion.
Yes, that they didn't find his body.
But you have to wonder, I mean, just because he died in a tragic way, would he be that mischievous as a ghost? I mean, I almost wonder, you know, a lot of times we jump to conclusions of who died here. Well, that must be who it is. I don't know that that's always the case. I think sometimes it seems like it's something a little bit, you know, beyond that. You know, it's hard to tell in this case.
I think a big thing is when something that you can't describe or you can't logistically put together happens, aka you're sleeping and you feel as though somebody is ripping you out of bed. If there is something tragic that happens in your small knit community and they don't find the body of the victims, that then allows you to connect that dot, just
sure,
giving you a little bit more sanity.
And sometimes I think that's naturally what we do, where it's like, well, it's easier to think it's just the guy who lived here rather than some sort of, you know, demon that's hanging out and ripping me through my bed. Yeah, it's easier to think it's the barge guy. As if you died in a tragic accident and you had to go haunt something, where would you haunt if you had? Because it seems some of these things, they're stuck in one place. They don't have a whole lot of options of, oh, I'm going to hang out at the house now, and then I'm going to go hang out at the Quick Trip later today, and then I'm going to take a little trip over to into the Target. It's pretty much, I'm stuck in the house now. Where would you haunt?
It would be twofold, Tony. Everybody has their pet peeves, things that annoy them. For me, I have two. I have one and a 1A. One is internal whistling. Internal whistling. What do I mean by that? If you're in your cubicle, if you're in a smaller place, if you're driving in a car, and there's people that feel the need to always have some type of noise. They can't be comfortable with silence, whether it's music, whether it's small talk, or whistling. And most notably, the song they probably heard that morning. I don't like that at all. 1A is chewing with your mouth open. But to get back to the whistling, I would go to all the people that I've worked with, probably at work I would start haunting them, and I would just whistle a late 80s tune. I would whistle Lionel Richie. When there is nothing going on, maybe it's late at work, they had to stay late, and I would just haunt the hell out of them by whistling.
At a right work
by them.
So I'm asking, where would you haunt? What place would you haunt?
Their employers, where they work.
Who's they?
Anybody that whistled that I've worked with.
Okay, so anybody that you, okay. I wasn't following that part. Okay. I could see that. I think that'd be good. I think what would offer a lot of variety for haunting would be like an apartment building, a big one, where you can, it's kind of like dropping in all different types of lives. And it's like, well, today I'm going to haunt this family down here. Today I'm going to haunt the single person over here. And then I'm going to haunt the old guy down the hall. It gives you some variety. If you have to be stuck in a building, I think variety would be a good choice. A better variety of people you can haunt for your workday is what I would
bring. I was going to say, and I would bring a camera crew in the afterlife, mm-hmm. and then I would make a fun afterlife YouTube series of who do we haunt today? And there'd be a fun song. Who do we haunt today?
Is that it? Is there like music to it, or is it an a cappella?
You know, we're still in the recording studio. We're just flushing them out.
Okay, still working them out. Working on your jams jingles there. Let's do one more call. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Patty from Omaha. I've called in a couple times over the years, just with a couple of my ghost stories. Haven't had anything happen, thankfully, in a couple of years. that's a good thing, I guess, right? Knock on wood. I just wanted to share a story that happened when I visited my husband's grandfather in Florida. Kind of just a weird coincidence. I don't know if it's necessarily 100% paranormal. But my husband's paternal grandmother passed away when he was, I want to say, like five or six. He was young. But she always favored him out of the four kids that my husband had sibling-wise. She was his favorite. He could do no wrong. He was pretty much her golden boy, which makes the story even funnier. So what happened was when we come down to Florida, we usually stay with his grandfather, his paternal grandfather. They're very, very close. He was even the best man at our wedding. So they're very, very close. But he is very hospitable and lets us stay in his bedroom when we are there, since obviously we're a married couple, and he's just very generous in that regard. So what happened was we were there the second night, and we went to bed around 11 p.m. And so his bed is one of those vibrating beds. It's like the sleep number one where the remote control. And we never, ever have it on just because we like the bed to be still. And his grandpa showed us how to raise it and lower it if we wanted to, but we just didn't want to mess with his settings, so we just left it alone. But one night, I slept on his grandmother's side, what would have been his grandmother's side, on their side of the bed. And at 3 a.m. in the morning, around 3:10-ish, I don't really remember the time, I just knew it was 3, little after 3, the bed started shaking. And I don't know if maybe, we hit the settings in our sleep or what was going on, but the remote was on the bedside table that was about 5 feet from me, a little closer to my husband, but his arms aren't that long to reach around and smack it. So, and I said, hey, babe, bed shaking, are you shaking it? And of course he rolls over, just mumbles something and goes back to sleep. Well, then at this point I'm kind of like, okay, well, he's not moving. Why is the bed shaking? So I started getting a little scared. And so I reached for the remote and turned it off, and it turned off and everything. So in the morning, I talked to his grandfather and said, hey, I don't know if your bed's malfunctioning, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh no, that's just Helen. And I stopped and I said, what? And he's like, yeah, it happens from time to time. His little brother, my husband's little brother, sleeps with their grandpa sometimes if he has a nightmare. Long story short, my grandpa pretty much raises his little brother. And apparently when his little brother sleeps on that side, that happens sometimes too. I guess the grandfather called the manufacturer and they didn't have any recall. They didn't have any reports of, the bed shaking thing going off by itself, because it's more just triggered by the remote and the remote only. So I just figured I'd call in and share that story with you guys. I don't know, like I said, if it's 100% paranormal. I don't know if it was just like a defect in the mattress, but I thought it was pretty cool. I don't think it was really malicious. I think she's just kind of checking me out since I married her golden boy and was what I was all about, trying to mess with me, see if I could handle it. But just wanted to let you guys know, like always, love the show, listen every day. I'm not an EPT currently because I'm not working, but as soon as I find a job and start working, I definitely plan on becoming an EPP again to help you guys out. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Nothing like testing the tolerance of your loved ones and their new significant others by haunting the shit out of them.
Oh, that's just Helen.
She's there. She just wants to make sure you can handle her. Handle what? She just wants to scare you as a ghost. Can you handle ghosts? It's not part of this. That's not this relationship. This is not what I signed up for.
See, if you were alive, Helen, you would offer her a quarter, maybe a half stick of gum, possibly a Werther's original. But because you're visiting from the afterlife, you're going to scare the hell out of her.
God, shake the hell out of the bed. Have you ever slept on one of those beds that, these are the ones that were on, like vacation. I'm sure this one's not quite like that, but the hotel beds that had the quarter slot where you could make the bed vibrate. And this is something out of the 70s.
Yeah. It's funny you mention that. I can remember, making a road trip, and sometimes you just stop at a hotel where, if there's lights on and there's vacancy, you're at that point of sleep exhaustion, you just need a bed.
Sure.
And it had that bed, and this was probably 2010-ish.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that it still had that bed in 2010, I found a blanket and I slept on the floor.
You probably would have been better on the bed on the blanket than the floor.
It was one of those things that I thought, are you serious? And I obviously looked at it. Then I went in my car and I wanted to see if I had a quarter, which I didn't. So I did not get to experience it. But I thought to myself, this bed, it's got to be like 40 years old.
Yeah. Imagine if you took a black light to that mattress, what you'd find.
So.
Or the floor, for that matter, what you'd find.
Yeah, it probably wasn't the best decision all around. Should have just slept in my car. But, I think it was like $34 for the night, and it was a fun 6 hours.
I think I have a vague recollection of you texting me a picture of the machine. I don't know if that's... I for some reason, I feel like you did send me a picture of that, going, look at this.
I would say that's north of 75%.
And on that note, I think we'll wrap up this edition of Real Ghost Stories Online. You like the show? Keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Claim yourself the spirit flask just in time for the holidays when you sign up for a yearly EPP membership. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.